Holy Spirit, we invoke your presence and filling in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, in our bodies, in our relationship. Move among us, Spirit of life and power, truth and grace. Minister Jesus to your waiting people. To the glory of the Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Not long ago, I came across a story that was particularly interesting to me from a number of different points of view, not the least of which is that it's from the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. My family comes from the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. My grandfather was born in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. And this story is about a couple, godly couple, who for many years ministered in the inner city of D.C., and ended up being led by God to purchase a property in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia to establish a base for the ministry of spiritual formation. And after they had taken possession of the property, they discovered that on the property there was a former slave graveyard. And they immediately sensed, we have been entrusted with something here that is sacred. So out of that was born a ministry that is known as the Reconciliation Project. And people are meeting, people are coming together, and particularly white people and African Americans are coming together, being joined in this ministry. And the leader writes about a time when they were, as a group, 30 or so people, in the graveyard praying. So here's the picture, this circle of people praying together. Some descendants of former slave owners. Some descendants of former slaves. Brought together by the reconciling power of Christ. Standing there praying and invoking the presence of God. And it began to rain. Just a drizzle, but it was raining. And they kept praying and it kept raining. And the man who's writing the story said, he's got his 10-year-old daughter there with him. And his 10-year-old daughter turns to him and says what everybody else is thinking. She says, Daddy, God is crying. The ministry of reconciliation. God has entrusted to us. God has entrusted to his church the ministry of reconciliation. How can we understand reconciliation? So just a couple of thoughts about reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a relationship word. It's about relationships. It's about healing relationships that have been broken or damaged. Now, everybody, I'm sure, in this congregation this morning knows what that is. That is a description of the brokenness of humanity. The brokenness of humanity is profoundly permeated with the brokenness and damage of relationships. The very first sin of violence that is recorded in Genesis, one generation later, it only took one generation for a brother to murder his brother. So, human brokenness. Reconciliation is a relationship word. Reconciliation is not a mind word. It's not about the mind. Relationship is a heart word. It's about the heart. It's not about agreeing with the mind. How long would it take for everybody to agree with the mind? If you're like me, you don't even agree with yourself all the time. So relationship is not a mind word. It's not about agreeing with the mind. It's about loving from the heart. And that means it is a component of the righteousness of the kingdom. Remember that Jesus said to his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no case be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? It's the righteousness of external behavior. That's not the righteousness of the kingdom. The righteousness of the kingdom is the law is written on the heart. That's the new covenant. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will write that law on my heart. And when the law of love is written on the heart, it's in the heart, we find ways to express it. Reconciliation changes the effects of the past on the present. What does bitterness do to us? Hatred, resentment, an unforgiving heart. We end up in prison. We are stuck with what has happened in the past. Reconciliation frees the prisoner. We can't change the past. Can't go back and change the past. But what we can do is change the effect that the past has on the present and on the future. Reconciliation ushers us into a new present and a new future, a new life. I learn about reconciliation. How do I learn about reconciliation? Well, here's how I learn. I learn about reconciliation through my relationship with God being reconciled. That's how I begin to learn. Because sin has broken my relationship with God. I made the insane decision of thinking I knew better than God knew, and I went away from him and rebelled against him and sinned against him, and that wounded, that broke my relationship with him. Jesus came, and in his mercy and in his grace, he opens the way for that relationship with God to be restored. And as my relationship with God is restored, and as my relationship with God deepens, because you know there is this way that sometimes Christians talk, do you know the Lord? And the answer is, because you're a Christian, well, yes, I know the Lord. And so here's the next question that's appropriate. How well do you know him? Is he just a casual acquaintance that you met once or twice? So the deeper we go in our knowledge of him, the more we begin to understand the components of reconciliation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation. The old has passed away. The new has become. In Christ, I have become a new kind of person. Not through my effort or my behavior, but by the grace, the miraculous transforming grace of God within me. Something new is within me by the grace of God. I am transformed. Living with Christ, I become the kind of person who gradually understands how to lead others in reconciliation with man and with God. So how do I know how to help somebody else into reconciliation? Well, I learn it by my relationship with Jesus. Because, you know, relationship with Jesus is not something in the mind. It's not something only in the Bible. It's not something only in theology. It's psychological. It's real. It really, really happens. We come to know him. And knowing him and being in his presence and walking with him and experiencing him and loving him and obeying him transforms us. And it begins to inform us. Hey, you know, I've been reconciled to God. Something's different within me. And that begins to affect my relationship with other people. And now I find another person who's grappling with bitterness and hatred and anger and all of that. And hey, I have an answer. I have something to help this person. And the beginning of that, of course, is bringing them to Jesus. One more thing about reconciliation. Reconciliation has two components to it. The first component is the individual component. It's people. Me and you. You and somebody else. an individual component. Reconciliation heals people. Anybody want to be healed? Anybody know anybody who wants to be healed? Reconciliation is about healing people. People get healed. That's the individual component. But there is a group component. There's a kingdom component. There's a mission component to reconciliation. It makes God's kingdom visible. The kingdom of God becomes visible when hatred is transformed into forgiveness. People see it. How bad are things today? If you had to give an evaluation of the world today, or of America today, or of Britain today, or of the Middle East today. How are things today? Well, a lot of us would say pretty bad. Things are pretty bad. Shall I tell you something else? The kingdom of God is spreading throughout the earth. Reconciliation is spreading throughout the earth, but you don't read about it in the headlines. And let me tell you why. Because God works in hiddenness. I wish there was more time to talk about that. God works in hiddenness. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't appear to Pilate. He didn't appear to the Jewish leaders. He appeared to Mary in the garden. He appeared to two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. He appeared to the disciples in Galilee. He works in hiddenness. John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the day of his appearing to Israel. At the marriage in the Cana of Galilee, Mary said to Jesus, "They have no wine." They don't have any wine. Mary knew who he was. Jesus said to his mother, "My hour is not yet come." Reconciliation is moving throughout the earth. If we had time, which we don't, I could tell you story after story after story that I know about, and that, of course, is just a grain of sand compared to what's really happening. Turks are being reconciled with Armenians. Turks who have been transformed by Jesus are standing in front of Armenian people and saying, "Our forefathers murdered your forefathers." We're acknowledging that. We're admitting that. And we're standing here asking, "Will you forgive us?" Slovaks are being reconciled with descendants of deported Jews. There are places in Slovakia where Slovaks are saying, "We took our Jews in 1942 and shipped them off to Auschwitz. We acknowledge that. We repent of that. We invite people from Israel to come that we might repent of that. And we are establishing in the former Jewish cemetery a memorial stone with the name of every single Slovak Jew that we deported to Auschwitz." It's happening. German nobility is acknowledging the sins of their ancestors that led to World War I. I can show you this in writing. German nobility, including the great-great-grandson of the Kaiser, saying, "We, our forefathers, could have stopped World War I, but their arrogance and their militarism and their violence let this awful thing where 17 million people perished." Descendants of slave owners are being reconciled with descendants of slaves. Swiss Reformed pastors are asking forgiveness of Anabaptists. You know, in the beginning of the Anabaptist movement, 1525, Swiss Reformed pastors brought one of the leaders of the Anabaptists and said, "You want to rebaptize people? We'll show you what it's like." And he drowned him in the river right there in Zurich. Swiss Reformed pastors are acknowledging that and asking forgiveness. And there was awesome, awesome reconciliation taking place between the descendants of Anabaptists and the descendants of the state churches. Rwandan Christians are forgiving those who murdered their family. What's that like? Here's a person, their husband or their father, murdered by somebody else with a machete. This person, because of the transforming power of Christ, is coming. I murdered your family. I can't go back and redo it. They're dead. All I can do is say, I repent. And ask you to forgive me. And if you don't forgive me, I understand that. Israeli Jews. I love this. These are Jews who live in Israel, who are messianic. What does it mean? They're followers of Jesus is what it means. They are caring for Arabs. They are protecting Arab land. They are helping Arabs protect their farms. They are protecting Arab children as they go to school because other Israeli settlers might harass the children. And so here are Jews protecting Arab children on their way to school. It's happening in Israel. You read about it? Germans have opened a prayer house outside of Auschwitz. You know what Auschwitz is? Auschwitz is the most horrible of all Nazi concentration camps. 1.1 million people were put into the gas chambers in Auschwitz, and Germans have opened a prayer house to go there and pray for the mercy of God to come into that place, not only for what happened to Jews, but what Germans have done to Poles. Now, here's one. The Catholic Pope. Tell me if you heard about this in the news. The Catholic Pope went to an Italian Pentecostal church. He went himself and asked for forgiveness for the way Catholics persecuted Italian Pentecostals in the beginning of the 20th century. He asked for forgiveness. And they forgave him. They forgave him. And then, you know, I could keep on going, but I just got to add this. Got to say something good about Arizona. The Arizona House of Representatives has called for Holocaust education in Arizona schools and invited a Jewish Holocaust survivor to open the session in prayer. Well, we could go on and on. Okay, before we close, what are the steps in the process of reconciliation? How do we get there? What does it look like? Step number one, tell the truth. We have to tell the truth. The theological word is confession. We have to tell the truth. You see, God doesn't play games. God is full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of forgiveness. That's who he is. But he doesn't give mercy and grace and forgiveness in the midst of deception and lying. He wants the truth. Now, the first person we have to tell the truth to is ourselves. I can't confess anything if I don't tell myself the truth. So I have to tell myself the truth. What have I really done? How have I really offended another? What have I really done? And what have my forefathers done? Now, we haven't got time to get into this, but I will say this real quick. This came up even earlier today. I can confess the sins of my forefathers without dishonoring them. I don't have to dishonor them. I don't have to speak with contempt about my forefathers. I'm told to honor my father and mother, honor my forefathers. But just as I don't have to show contempt about myself to express my own sin, I don't have to express contempt for my ancestors by acknowledging their sin. My great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather was a slave owner. I've seen his will. He lists as assets human beings. What am I going to do with that? I honor him. I'm not dishonoring him. But I feel a responsibility for that. Truth-telling. Tell the truth. We must stop romanticizing history. Any history teachers here? Tell it. Tell the truth. Don't romanticize history. Second step, grieving. Grieving. An important part of reconciliation is grieving. Repenting, grieving. Third, asking forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness. Will you forgive me? How many Germans have come to Hannah? Hannah, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Now, when we ask somebody to forgive us, we have to keep this in mind. My choice to ask you for forgiveness is my choice. I get to choose that. Now it's your choice. Are you going to forgive me? And you might say no. And if you say no, I respect your decision. So reconciliation takes two parties. You can't have unilateral reconciliation. You can have unilateral forgiveness. I choose to forgive you. That's unilateral. If I ask you for forgiveness and you say no, then reconciliation cannot yet take place because it's a relationship word. We're talking about relationship. God wants relationship. So I ask for forgiveness. We may have to settle for unilateral forgiveness for now, for now. Realize this, brothers and sisters, what is now true is not the final story. God is still working. God is still working. Fourth, asking for forgiveness. Four, extending forgiveness. What do you do if somebody asks you for forgiveness? Your heart is filled with bitterness and hatred and resentment and anger. They say, will you forgive me? What are you going to do? So here's the key to forgiveness. With forgiveness, we turn judgment over to God. A problem in not being able to forgive is the problem I have made myself judge. But God hasn't given me that role. What do you think of that? God has not given me, and God has not given you, the role of judge. That's his role. So if I have been wronged, what do I do with that wrong and the person who has wronged me? I turn them over to God. I just simply turn them over to God and leave judgment to him. That frees me to forgive. And then the fifth step, healing. The kingdom is made manifest. Brothers and sisters, hatred, bitterness, anger, broken relationships is a dungeon. The deep hole. It's bondage. Jesus invites us to come out of that. By his transforming grace, he invites us to become a new person who is able to work forgiveness. Remember, reconciliation requires the other person. The words of Paul in Romans 12, as much as lieth in you, live at peace with all men. As much as lies in you, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to deliver the captives. And every one of us here is a captive or has been a captive. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. We have created a situation in our own lives and in the lives of others and in the lives of our society that you never intended. Free us, Lord. Show us the way of grace, mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation. May the kingdom of God be manifested in people loving and forgiving one another, we pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name.